good morning. The top story is an urgent call for a female at the center of an internal investigation at the government industrial school to be pardoned or removed by the Home Affairs Minister. And the Bar Association highlights concerns with the Anti-Corruption and Anti-Terrorism Agency Bill. The top story is in the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. I'm Keith Goddard. The details to the news just ahead. The president of the National Organization of Women, Marsha Hines-Lane, wants a 14-year-old female at the center of an internal investigation at the government industrial school pardoned or transferred from the institution. Ms. Hines-Lane, who is also deputy chairman, charges that the child who was seen lying naked on the cement floor in solitary confinement was wrongfully imprisoned. She believes the juvenile should be removed from the institution pending the completion of a full investigation by the Minister of Home Affairs, Wilfred Abrams. She was speaking on VOB's Brass Tacks call-in program.
I think that because the minister has found enough, I don't know how to put it, evidence, concern to launch an investigation, that he immediately needs to either use his power under the Act, point 38, to conditionally or fully pardon this child, or at least to transfer her to another facility where her safety can be safeguarded until this particular issue is fully investigated and the investigation shows what has to happen moving forward.
Meantime, child rights advocate Faith Marshall-Harris says it's time for government to finally put in place legislation to protect children's rights. She wants the current bills being drafted to be fast-tracked.
The attempt was being made for a child justice bill, and somehow we have not got it there yet. And as I said, the only thing I can say, if giving them the benefit is pandemic intervene. And right now, we are also now working on a child protection bill that will go hand in hand with it. And I am using this forum to hold people's feet to the fire and say, it better come now, because the public is aware that all of that is there to be done.
Child's rights advocate Faith Marshall-Harris. The Barbados Water Authority will not require subventions from government for operational expenses this year, as has been the case in the past 2 years. This from General Manager Keith Wright Halliday, who was at the time responding to a question posed by opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley about the level of debt at the statutory corporation. But Mr. Halliday, however, revealed that $30 million was budgeted for capital expenditure programs.
But certainly with the debt capacity, or where the debt is with respect to the Barbados Water Authority, having undergone a full restructure and the removal of the significant debts with the assistance of government 2 years ago, we are now at the stage where Barbados Water Authority is actually covering all of its operational expenses and moving to progressively towards a position where it would eventually be able to assist on the capital expenditure side.
The opposition leader also suggested that government look to other models of public transport which do not involve subsidies to the sector.
Dissuade me from the view that we need to see the state remove itself from providing public transport on a commercial basis, leaving that to private operators, with the state performing a serious and significant regulatory function, in addition to the provision of a social service element of public transport, that is perhaps services to the school, movement of students, etc.
Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources Ian Gooden-Edgell says the concept of a mass transit authority is being explored.
The government of Barbados continues to carry a substantial investment in public transport. The investment in electric vehicles, plus the ongoing annual subsidy. Now, the government cannot continue to carry such a load. And this is not a plan that will see persons being dislodged or being placed in a position of to be unemployed. But what it does do, and you're right, it would help and certainly enfranchise those workers who work in public transport, who want to stay in public transport, but incentivizing those persons who want to participate in public transport, incentivizing them in such a way that the benefits will redound to them.
As Minister of Transport, Works and Water Resources, Ian Gooden-Edgell. The Barbados Bar Association has highlighted a number of concerns with the Anti-Corruption and Anti-Terrorism Agency Bill recently introduced in Parliament. She says there are some issues with the bill in its present format. For one, Ms. Smith-Miller believes a more transparent process is required in appointing a Director General and the Oversight Committee, rather than on the recommendation of the Prime Minister alone, following consultation with the opposition leader. She also queried why the post is not being advertised and the selection and approval of the Director General not being carried out by the Parliament and then recommended to the Governor General. Ms. Smith-Miller believes, like MP George Payne, that allowances should be made for Parliament to have a say in the appointment of the Director General and the Oversight Committee. Additionally, Ms. Smith-Miller said under Section 16 of the proposed bill, the Director General will be given the full powers, privileges, and immunities of a member of the Royal Barbados Police Force, but queried whether they will be bound by the same restrictions. She also questioned why commercial banks are not required to disclose the name and addresses of their customers when attorneys at law are required to disclose their clients' names. Minister of Health and Wellness, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, says while COVID-19 positive numbers are trending downwards, there is still community spread across Barbados. He was speaking to the media on the anniversary of the first COVID-19 case on the island.
Fortunately, the cases that we've had in the past 7 to 10 days have been restricted to a number of communities, and we're not seeing that spread of cases in several communities like we were seeing before, and that is a good thing. But for me, I would like for us to be able to return to the pre-December days, and then I'll be satisfied that we are really on the right track.
Meantime, the Democratic Labour Party is urging government to step up its COVID-19 testing. Spokesperson on health, Paul Gibson, says this is needed to get a more accurate assessment of the prevalence of the virus in Barbados.
Barbadians would have been realizing that we've been seeing a lowering number when it comes to the COVID test results in terms of positivity. However, when we're doing a 7-day average, we're still above the level that we're supposed to be at this particular point in time. And the Democratic Labour Party is just calling for the government to advocate that more persons get tested, because the low testing rates are not going to add value to the test. Usually, the rule of thumb is that when for every positive test you get, you have to double the number, because it means that those persons are the ones, there are those persons in society that have not yet been tested.
The DLP spokesperson on health, Paul Gibson. Trinidad and Tobago says talks are continuing with China on possibly acquiring COVID-19 vaccines from that country. Minister of Health Terence D.L. Singh said talks began since October 1st last year. He also explained why Trinidad has not yet received vaccines like Jamaica and Barbados.
You are going to see a freeing up of the system from around May for two reasons. One, more and more vaccines are going to be WHO approved. So it means Trinidad and Tobago, that has this principle of safety over expediency, will have more access to vaccines. And two, as the larger countries, especially United States, Canada, England, and so on, as they vaccinate their population, more and more vaccines will become available to countries like us.
Trinidad and Tobago's Minister of Health, Terence D.L. Singh. The Caribbean Union of Teachers says it remains concerned about the administration of this year's CXE examinations scheduled for the summer of 2021. And General Secretary Don Howell is promising that the regional body will be taking action to voice its displeasure. Speaking from his home in Castries, St. Lucia, he told Starcom Network News that the membership met earlier this week and are unified under course of action.
We have consensus on then our next step. And as I said, I'm not at liberty at this point to indicate to you what our next steps would be. But we, very soon the CUT would be generating discussion around the region regarding the 2021 CXE examinations. We believe that there should be more consultation. Some of the policies set out by CXE needs to be revisited.
It's General Secretary of the Caribbean Union of Teachers, Don Howell. A recap of the headlines. An urgent call for a 14-year-old female at the center of an internal investigation at the government industrial school to be pardoned or removed by the Home Affairs Minister. And the Bar Association highlights concerns with the Anti-Corruption and Anti-Terrorism Agency Bill. The top stories in the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Keith Goddard. Good morning.
And you can listen to the latest news or catch up on news stories at starcomnetwork.net. You may also WhatsApp add me to 256-6397 to receive breaking news. The next newscast comes your way at 8:30.